Ezekiel chapter 37, and I'll begin reading here in verse 1. And the hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, and an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, O son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we are cut off for our part. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall have put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. I considered this passage this last week, and I considered it really as God instructing his preacher with a strong hand. God instructing his preacher with a strong hand. Now, I appreciate those men in our day and our forefathers who have had the opportunity to attend a higher education, to go to seminars, to have the means available to them to study church history, to be instructed by some of the great theologians in the past. They've applied themselves. And I appreciate those men that have taken the time and the labor and the money to educate themselves in the ministry. I don't want to any way this morning have you to believe that I don't appreciate men who have applied themselves to the ministry. But having said all of that, what you and I are always in need of in the ministry, in our preacher, are those men who have been instructed of God. Men who have been taught of God, have been sent of God Himself. John the Baptist was a man sent from God. That's the kind of man that you and I need. men who have been taught, men who have been left alone with God, men whom God has shut up and taught the things of the Lord. We need this morning men who have experientially been laid a hold of and taught to see, taught to know, and taught to feel from their heart what they are to preach. There's one thing to be taught of men and take notes and preach to others, and there's another thing again to be taught of God and tell others what God has taught you. And that's what we find here in verse 1. The Scripture says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me." The Lord got hold of this man and carried him himself. This man was helpless. Things was out of his control. God was going to teach this man something experientially. That's what we see in this preacher. So he carries him out here in this valley, and he says here it was full of bones. God was going to instruct this man how to preach. He was going to instruct him what to preach. And notice what he says there in verse 2, that he caused me to pass by them round about. God caused him not only just to go there and to look out over this valley of bones, but he caused him to consider their state. He went in and out among these bones. My, don't you imagine that was a burdensome vision? Don't you imagine it was a fearful vision? He saw these bones and they had been slain. This man began to consider. He wasn't going there just to take a glance and to leave. No, God was instructing this man. He says, "You go in and out of these bones. Take heed to them. Consider. Let your imagination wonder what's happened to these bones." Over here he saw a skull that had been split. Over here he saw a shoulder bone separated from his arm. Skeletons, but they were scattered all through this valley. And this prophet considered the condition of these bones and the sheer number of them. And he reached this conclusion in his own heart. He says, "There's many of them. There's many of them. The valley is full of them." And he says, "This I see about these bones, that they're very dry." Many of them, something awful has happened to them. They've been slain. Their meat has dried up. It's decayed. Wild beasts have scattered their skeletons. It was a sad and burdensome and fearful sight. And brothers and sisters, that's the way it is when God calls a man to preach and he takes in hand to instruct that man of the condition that men and women are into that he is sending him to preach to. And here's what he asked the preacher in verse 3. Look at it. After he's let him go in and out and consider all of these bones and the awful condition that they're in, then he asked this preacher this question in verse 3. He said unto me, "O son of man, can these bones live?" And I answered and said unto him, "Lord God, only thou knowest." I bet he reached this conclusion. I bet the preacher reached this conclusion. If it's left up to me, they can't live. That's one of the lessons he learned. If it's left up to them, they'll never live. If it's left up to other men to give them life, they shall never live. Lord, I know this much. If you don't give them life, they cannot live. That's the conclusion that this preacher suddenly reached. Lord, I don't know. You know. I don't know how many. I don't know who. But I know this. If you don't give them life, they can't live. With man, this is impossible. When God takes in the hand to instruct His preacher, He teaches him of the sad and fearful state of the lost. That they're lifeless. That they're hopeless. They're faithless. They have no love. They have no regard. They have no reverence for God. They are dead and been long dead. And here's the conclusion he reaches. Lord, I don't know who. I don't know how many. But this much I know. If you don't give these bones life, they will never live. They will never live. We must preach to men right where we find them. Now we learn that from this text. We must preach to men right where we find them. Now there's what we find in verse 4. Look at this. Again he said unto me, preach unto these bones. Preach unto these bones. We cannot wait till men are awakened. We cannot go around and find somebody that is concerned about their souls. We can't wait until somebody cries out, what must I do to be saved? We must go, brothers and sisters, and preach to men right where we find them. But you say they're dead in trespasses and sins. These bones were dead. But the first thing we're told, to go preach to men right where you find them. And secondly is this. God told this preacher not only to preach to men right where he finds them, but address them in the condition that he finds them in. Say to these dry bones, look at it in verse 4. Say unto these dry bones, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. You see what he did? He not only addressed these dry bones right where they were, but he addressed them as the condition he found them in. How were they? Dry bones. Lifeless bones. And the only remedy, he says here, is to hear the word of the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, look at this. How foolish this seemed. Doesn't this seem foolish to you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Here God takes this man out in the midst of this valley. Bones that had been scattered, that had been long dead, they were dry and parched for the sun. And the Lord commands this man to preach unto these bones. And to talk to these bones. And to address them as dry bones. And to command them to hear the word of the Lord. Now don't that seem ridiculous to you? It seems useless. Preach to these dry bones? Preach to dry bones? The preacher who is instructed of God with a strong hand has no choice as to what to preach. And he has no choice who he preached to. God's made that choice. I've got no choice who I go to preach to, and I've got no choice what I tell people. God has not told me who to preach to, and he's told me what to preach. He's instructed his preachers. He knows what the world wants to hear. I know what the world wants to hear, brothers and sisters. I do. I have learned now over the last 20 years or so. I know what the world wants to hear. The world wants to hear smooth things. The world wants to hear things that's appealing to their flesh. That makes them feel good about themselves. That's what the world wants to hear. And the poor preacher, he would love to please the world. Now you take a preacher and he says, no, there's nothing in me that wants to please the world. Well, he's probably lying to you. I'm telling you, I find something in me that wants to please the world. I know what the world wants, and I know there's something in my wretched old nature, my sinful old flesh, that wants to please the world. But that man who has been taught of God and instructed of God with a strong hand cannot help but preach what he has been taught. What do we preach to man? We address him right where we find him, and we address him in the condition that he's really in. He's in a prison house. Here's what we tell men. Here's what we confront the world with. He is in a prison house. He is in darkness. He is a slave to sin and to self. In his present condition, he is fearful. He is ready to perish. He has no hope. He's without God in the world. He is as dead. Here's what we confront the world with. We confront lost people with this. We confront unbelievers with this. And we tell them that they are as dead spiritually as these bones were physically. And strictly from a carnal standpoint, I know nothing so foolish and ridiculous and that so stirs up shame and embarrassment in a preacher's heart as to go telling the world these things. Could you imagine great men coming by and seeing this preacher out there in this valley? Can you imagine? Here comes the local scientist or the doctor or the lawyer or some great general with his troops. The mighty and the wise of this world, here they're coming by, and here they look over to their left, and what do they see? They see this one man out in this great valley, out in the midst of dry, scattered bones, and what's he doing? He's talking to them. He's preaching to them. As though they heard. He's telling them the condition that they're in and what's going to take place with them. He's preaching to them. And what do you think their opinion of this preacher is? Well, look at that man, they say. How utterly ridiculous he is. What a silly man he is. How foolish, how needless. Has he lost his mind? Don't he have any decency? Don't he have any respect? Is the man mad? There he is, speaking to those bones and insulting them. Is it not bad enough that they're in that condition, but he addresses them as dry bones, lifeless bones? Don't he have any respect at all? What's the poor man doing? He's mad, they say. What's he intending to accomplish by such a thing? There's no wonder some dear preachers have sought to get out of the ministry. It's the most foolish thing I ever did in my life. It's the most embarrassing thing I ever did in my life. There's no wonder some men go home and say, God, if you'll forgive me of my presumption, I'll never preach again. What does the Scripture say about preaching? God has chosen by the foolishness of it to save them that believe. Moses said, Lord, don't send me. I can't speak. Jeremiah said, I'm just a child. Don't send me to preach. And there's been a lot more since then that's tried to get out of it. And a lot more that started to do it that wanted out of it when they saw what was involved in it. Because preaching is standing in the midst of a bunch of dead people, telling them that they're dead, and commanding them and exhorting them to hear the word of the Lord. And looking at it from a natural, carnal standpoint, that's the most foolish, ridiculous thing in all of this world. The very nature of preaching the gospel is such that no man will begin to do it and continue to do it in truth unless God instructs him with a strong hand and holds him up in it.
Yes.
And causes him to continue to do it. And to make him say, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Do I teach the things concerning man or God, the Apostle Paul said? Am I preaching the things of God? Or am I preaching the things that belongs to man? Do I seek to please men? If I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I assure you, brethren, the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. It's offensive to man. I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it of man, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. This man, this preacher here in my text, was instructed of the Lord to address these bones as he saw. And he said, all I see is dry bones. Dry bones. Then address them that way. Address them that way. Oh, ye dry bones. You're not alive. You're not healthy. You're not clean. You're not holy. You're dead. You're dead. You're dry. You're lifeless. How do we address the unbelievers? We tell them this. Your carnal mind is enmity against God. Your very souls are dead in trespasses and sins. The devil is your father. Your own conscience accuses you. The law of God curses you. God Almighty says that you're guilty before Him. There is nothing to be said. There is nothing to be said to the unbeliever that can comfort him. Any comfort that you would give them is only temporary. And it only further deceives their soul. What could this preacher say to these bones? But tell them the truth. Oh, dear soul, listen to this poor preacher this morning. Has God given you life? Has God given you life? Has He given you the life of Jesus Christ? If not, then use your present condition. You're dead. Has God given you a new heart? A heart of flesh to know Him and to love Him and to follow Him? If not, then your heart is as hard as an adamant stone. You're ignorant of Him and you're hateful towards Him in your very mind. Has the Lord Jesus washed you from your sin? Then your conscience is defiled and you're filthy yet. Does Jesus Christ dwell in your heart by faith? If not, the devil dwells there. Do you live with a good hope that God has given you through His grace? If not, then you have the hope of a hypocrite and you're ready to perish. You say, Bruce, that's not very comfortable. No, it's not. It's not, is it? It's not comfortable for you to hear it. It's not comfortable for me to tell it. And there's times I would rather crawl under my bed than speak it. And if God hadn't got me alone and instructed me, I would not stand and tell you the truth this morning.
That's right.
You say the gospel is offensive. Yes, it is. Yes, it is, brothers and sisters. And I tell you why it is. It addresses us right where it finds us. It will not cover us. It will not deceive us. It addresses us right where it tells us the truth about ourselves. Are you fleeing this morning, dear soul, from the wrath to come? If not, the wrath of God abides on you. Oh, God instructed this man. He instructed this man. Confront these bones right as you find them. Dry, lifeless, and hopeless. And the preacher addresses them so. He didn't wrap his words in eloquent speech. He didn't paraphrase what the Lord told him. He didn't hide the truth behind a whole paragraph of senseless illustrations. He didn't say you're like this or you're like that. No, he said you're dry bones. You're dry bones. Oh, how embarrassing. The devil comes to me sometimes and he said, aren't you ashamed of yourself to speak to these people in such a manner? This is too blunt, he tells me. At least you could tone it down. At least you can make it more appealing. You're ashamed. You're ashamed. That's what he tells me. You're ashamed. No wonder you don't have a big congregation. You're ashamed. Nobody's going to sit under you long. Oh, you don't have to tell me preaching the cross is offensive to the flesh. You don't have to tell me how the devil can make the blood rise up in your face. He can do it. And if God Almighty does not call a man and does not instruct him with a strong hand and hold him up and give him grace to suffer the shame and the embarrassment of preaching, he'll quit. He will quit. He'll quit because it costs him too much. It costs you too much to be a preacher of the gospel. He'll quit because of the persecutions that he has to face because of it. He'll quit because he's afraid of those he preaches to. He's afraid of their faces. I've looked at the faces of people while I was preaching to them. And they look like lions with their mouth open ready to swallow me up. I have saw that in people. You say, did they mean to do that? I doubt it seriously. I doubt it seriously. If we had to stop here this morning, wouldn't it be so discouraging? It'd be so discouraging, wouldn't it? But look in verse 5. Look here in verse 5. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. Look at that. He's preaching to them himself. Ain't that wonderful? Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. He's doing it through the preacher, but he's doing it. He's speaking to the bones himself. The poor preacher is not in this alone. God is right there with him. Not only with him to uphold him, but he's preaching himself. He's preaching through this preacher. You speak to them, he says, and you call them dry bones and tell them to hear the word of the Lord. And he turns right around and says, the Lord God says, you bones. God's talking to them. Now, isn't that wonderful? The Lord Jesus says it something like this. He said, I'm going to send you out to preach what he told his apostles, his disciples. And you're going to be called before governors and tribunals and courts, and they're going to persecute you. They're going to send you out of the synagogues. But he says, when you go there to preach to them, don't you be so anxious to ask what you're going to say. For it's not you that speak. Why, Lord, wait a minute now. It's not them. It was them speaking. You remember James and John stood before the Sanhedrin and said, "You've taken him and by wicked hands have crucified and slain him." It was them preaching. But the Lord Jesus said, "No, no, not really. It's the Spirit of your Father speaking in you." Ain't that what he said? Speaking in you. When the Lord ascended back to heaven, he told his disciples, he said, "You go and preach the gospel to every creature. And I'm with you. I am with you. I'll stand with you." A man, brothers and sisters, who will stand and preach the Word of God and nothing but the Word of God and all the Word of God, he can know God's going to stand with him. And God's going to preach through him. And that's enough encouragement. The Lord working with them, confirming His Word, is what the Scripture said. I love this passage of Scripture that we find over in 2 Corinthians 5:20. "We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us." By us. God is warning the lost. God is encouraging His people. God is calling men to repentance and faith. God is doing it Himself by the poor preacher. Paul said, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." And here's something else that we find encouraging here in this fifth verse is this. Look what he says. God's purpose, God's promise. "Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live." Ye shall live. God is going to work a great miracle. And how is He going to do it? Through this poor preacher standing out in the middle of this valley, addressing these bones. Ain't that wonderful? He's going to work a great miracle, and He's going to do it through preaching. The Lord is speaking to these bones. And what He's going to do for them, they don't even know it. You know, I don't think the Lord was so much talking to the bones as He was speaking so the preacher would know. Ain't that important? It's more important at this point in time that the preacher knew that God was going to do something by his preaching. It's more important that preacher know that than these bones to know. Is it not important this morning, brothers and sisters, I ask you, is it not important to us to know that God Almighty hasn't any elect people in this world that He's not yet called? But He's going to call them. He's going to give them life and reveal Christ to their understanding. Isn't that important for us to know that? Don't that encourage you so much? They don't know it yet. But the important thing is for us to remember it. Let me show you a couple of verses right quickly. If you'll turn your Bible over to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Hold Ezekiel right quick and turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I know that everybody I preach to is not going to be saved. I realize that. But I truly believe this, that God has some elect people, some chosen people, that He's going to call by my preaching. By my poor preaching? I believe that. Look what he says here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. "We are bound," verse 13, "we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the very beginning chosen you to salvation." Before the world was, He chose you to salvation. And here's the way He's going to save you. through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He chose you. And He called you. How did He call you? Why, in the first book that Paul wrote to this church in Thessalonica, he said, you were worshiping idols. You were in darkness. You had no life, no hope. You were in a perishing state. But I came to you, he says, and preached the gospel to you. And as I was preaching to you, what happened? Why, he said, the Holy Ghost brought the word to you with power and assurance and much faith and comfort. Through preaching. Through preaching. Ain't that encouraging? He comes to this poor preacher and he says, this is what I want you to preach to these bones. What I'm going to do to them. And what I'm going to do for them. Look back over here in our text again. Here in verse 5 and verse 6, he says, I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will lay sinew upon you. I will bring flesh upon you. I'll cover you with skin. I'll put breath in you. And ye shall live and ye shall know. Now, brothers and sisters, when you see things like this, remember this. This is the covenant of grace. This is covenant language. It's not you do and then I'll bless. It's I will. And you shall. Ain't that the way it says it? The covenant of works says you do this and you'll be blessed. You do and you shall live. But the covenant of grace is not based upon such flimsy things. The covenant of grace is based upon this. You're dry bones. But I will breathe upon you. I will give you life and then you shall live. See, it's not based upon human will. It's based upon God's sovereign will. It's based upon God's promise to bless. I'm going to bless you, He says. I'm going to give you life eternal. And then what's going to happen? You're going to live. You're going to live. Oh, ain't that a wonderful covenant? And here he is telling this preacher that looks so ridiculous out there in the middle of this valley, preaching to these bones. He tells them, here's what I'm going to do. I know what you're doing. He said, looks ridiculous to this world. I know it looks foolish to this world. But I'm telling you this to encourage you. I'm going to do a great thing upon these bones. I'm going to breathe upon them and they're going to live. Oh, that'll encourage you to keep on preaching, won't it? Oh, brothers and sisters, go everywhere. Preach to your neighbors. Preach to your visitors in your home. Preach to your children. Preach to your parents. Preach to your siblings. Preach to everybody you can hem up for a little while. Preach to them. Because God may do a wonderful thing in their hearts. He may give them life and reveal His Son to them. Thus saith the Lord unto these bones. Even when they're at the point of dry, I'm going to give them life eternal. If I knew of any other way that God saves sinners, I'd quit preaching and go do that. I would. I'd quit preaching and I'd go write comic strips. I just saw last week in the paper now where they're putting out the new Christian comic strips. And they're expecting great things from them. Fiction books on prophecy, films, all kinds of different things this world is turning to. And if I believe that God was using that to save, I'd quit doing this and go make some big money. And get people saved too. But the only thing he told this man here, oh, son of man, preach to these bones. Preach to them. So, look here in verse 7. So I preached. I preached. Why did you preach? Because I was commanded. Because I was commanded. Don't that settle the issue right there?
Yeah.
Somebody will say, well, we got them on one side. They say, well, you guys just going to hang on to this preaching as long as you can. But what good is it doing? It's got old. Ain't that what the world tells us? This preaching's got old. Everybody else is going to something else. You fellas trying to hang on to the past. Why don't you quit preaching and do what the world's doing? It's useless anymore. Useless? Useless? Is preaching useless? Brothers and sisters, I asked you this morning to look up to heaven. Turn your eyes towards heaven. And who do you see there? You think preaching is useless? Look around the throne. And who's there this morning while we're here? There's a multitude that no man can number there around that throne. And they're spirits of just men made perfect. They're free. They're holy. They're worshiping their Lord and Savior. How did they get there? They heard the gospel through the lips of clay and they believed it. That's how they got there. Useless? No, it ain't useless. And we have men on the other hand to tell us, well, these people are dead in sins. They can't hear nothing. God's got to do something for them first. No sense going to preach the gospel to these people. They're dead. Why would you even want to do that? If God ever does anything for anybody, it's going to be through the preaching of His gospel. And He commands us to do it, doesn't He? And that settles the issue. So what do? We do as we're commanded. We preach. We preach. I know it's foolish. I know it is foolish. I'm telling you, I know it's foolish. I know it's embarrassing. I know it's uncomfortable. But we're just going to keep on doing it. And when the Lord brought you to faith in Himself, when He's given you life eternal, you know what you'll say? That wasn't so foolish after all. That did something I never suspected it would do. And what did it do? Look here in verse 7. So I preached as I was commanded, and as I was preaching, something almost spontaneous took place. There was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And bones came together, bone to his bone. Then the sinew came upon the bones and attached the muscle to the bone. And the meat came and the skin came over it all. What was taking place? Well, something that often takes place when a sinner becomes convicted. He becomes convicted of sin. Some strange things start taking place when men begin to sit under the gospel. I remember when I become convicted of my sins, one of the first things I thought, boy, I need to go get me a Bible. I need to start reading the Bible. Is that what you think this morning? That's what you need to do. That's what you need to do. It'd be good to go get a Bible and start reading it. Boy, I tell you what I need to do. I need to get in church over there. I need to get in church and start hearing what these people got to say. Yes, you do. Yes, you do need to do that. Boy, I got some sins in my life. I need to get out of this lifestyle I'm in. Yes, you do need to get out of it. Yes, you do. There's nothing wrong, brothers and sisters, when men and women become concerned enough that they start trying to clean their own life up. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong when that Ethiopian became so convicted and convinced of his need that he left Ethiopia and drove all the way to Jerusalem to find out something about God. There's nothing wrong when Lydia and her friends gathered there where prayer was wont to be made. God uses these things. When a sinner's voice, when a conscience begins to cry out, there's a voice in the conscience. You ever had your conscience cry out against you? Boy, you lay down of the night and you can't sleep and your conscience is screaming. Oh, you're condemned. Oh, you look at you. If you died before morning, the wrath of God's upon you. Look how you're living towards God. You're angry with Him. You broke His law. You've sinned against His Son. Oh, and your conscience screams at you. You hear this voice, and you're trying to shake yourself loose from your sin. God uses things like that. But after you sit down and start reading, after you've gathered with the Lord's people, after you've tried to get out of your sins, you know what still your problem is? You still don't have any life. Still don't have any life. You'll do just what these people did. You'll start coming together and getting organized and getting your act together. You'll start doing that. You can't help it. But after you've done all of that, finally you realize, I'm still dead. I still don't know the Lord. I'm still guilty. So what happens? Verse 9. You know, sometimes we say, well, we preach to them. We witness to them. That's all we can do. But you know, really it's not. That's not all we can do. Here's something we can do too. And he commands us to do it. Look in verse 9. Say, then said he unto me, preach unto the wind. Preach, O son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. Everybody can't preach. But I tell you, all God's children can pray. I'm up here this morning trying to preach, and you can't get up here and preach with me. But you can go home and pray. And go home and pray just like the Lord tells you to pray. Oh, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Come and give life. Come and grant repentance. Come and begin a good work. Oh, it's useless without you. Nothing's effectual if you don't make it so. The preachers preach through much weakness. He stumbled and stammered. Send the mighty Spirit and let Him be the interpreter. The service is closed. Don't let the lost forget the message. Oh, you can't preach, but you can pray. Go home. Go home. And pray to this end, brothers and sisters. May God bless His message.